Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 89 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at the Ankeny office of Iowa Realty. Iowa Realty is located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is a proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, we're going to talk to a quartet of college athletes today whose seasons have been impacted by the coronavirus. Later on, we'll be talking to a men's basketball player who was getting ready to play in a national tournament when he was told that his season was over. We will visit with a baseball player whose senior year was underway when the rest of the season was abruptly canceled. So we'll talk with him about that and whether or not he will have the option to return next year. We will also visit with a softball player whose college career was just getting off the ground when her season was cut short due to COVID-19. But right now, I want to bring in my first guest. She's a former standout distance runner at Ankeny Centennial, who is now a senior member on the University of South Dakota women's cross country and track teams. She is Taylor Brown. Taylor, thanks for coming in. How are you doing?
Good, good. Thank you for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, Taylor was a late addition to our lineup, but tonight I happened to see a tweet that she sent out yesterday, and it was very well written. So I got a hold of her, and since she was back here in Ankeny, we were able to get her on tonight as well. So I want to read what you tweeted out here in a moment, but first I'll ask you a question. What was your motivation for writing what you did?
Just wanting to kind of leave just my mark on my whole career, I guess, as I could walk away. Our sports marketing people emailed us and said, hey, if you want to send something out for social media purposes, just to kind of have an ending senior year speech almost, and just took that and just wrote, I guess.
Okay, so here's what Taylor tweeted for those of you who didn't see it. She wrote, never would I have imagined my last season to end like this, but sometimes we just don't get to decide. If there's anything injuries have taught me over the years, it's that. Over the course of my 9 years of competitive running, many of those months did not actually consist of running. Why did I keep at it, keep putting myself through the pain and hurt? The people, plain and simple. It's the people that make cross country and track the sport that it is. It's not the competitions, awards, and PRs. While those things brought excitement, the true joy was and always will be found in the friendships and memories that were made along the way. I also learned over the years and through injuries to never leave an ounce in the tank, to always walk off the track having given every last ounce of effort and then some. By my senior year, I had a pretty good grasp on this. While I am hurt that I will have goals remain unmet, I am satisfied in the journey, the track, lost my pleasure. I'm satisfied in the journey and my effort because every time I stepped off that track, I knew it could be my last. My advice, never take what you have for granted. As USD athletes, we are immeasurably gifted with the talent to perform a sport. Use it. I am satisfied because I believe in a power greater than my own, who has a purpose for my life bigger than I could imagine. Thank you, USD Athletics, Coach Fitz, and Coach Gotts, and all the coaches that brought all my teammates together through the years. To my teammates and friends for life, thank you for everything. My love of being a Coyote lives on forever. Taylor Brown. So did you get a lot of reaction to what you wrote?
Yeah, a lot of people that just know me personally just reached out and said how much it impacted them too.
Well, to dig into this a little bit, obviously your season was cut short due to COVID-19. You know, do you remember where you were at and when you received the news that the season was canceled?
Yeah, I was home for spring break already, and I kind of just didn't really want to believe it as stuff started to kind of slowly come out and people started, other conferences and sports started to say, we're shutting this down, and I just kept saying, you know, no, it's not going to happen, like, it's not going to be ours, like, we're something will still hold true, and then just kind of slowly realized, and it just all hit me, I think, all at once they finally released that the Summit League was closing all of the meets.
So I don't know how much, you know, stuff you'd seen in the news about the coronavirus, but it sounds like, you know, you really didn't anticipate this, you know, would get to this point.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what was your initial reaction then? I mean, it had to be pretty devastating for you.
Yeah. I can't say that I hide the tears, so I pretty much just kind of broke down for a little while, and pretty much just one day hit me really hard, and then kind of a couple days after that slowly just kind of to settle, and just kind of this overwhelming peace came over me almost, of just feeling, like I kind of said in the tweet, just satisfied, just knowing that I could kind of take that pressure off of me, just running for so many years competitively. It does start to wear on you after a while. And again, while I'm like super upset that I can't compete more because that's just in my blood, I just know that I have so many opportunities to look back on and memories that I can hold true to my heart forever.
Well, I read where USD was set to host the Summit League Outdoor Track and Field Championships in May, and now the Coyotes will host the event in 2021. And as I understand it, all the spring sport athletes will be granted another year of eligibility. So wouldn't you have the option to come back next year if you wanted to?
Kind of. I am accepted to PT school at Des Moines University starting in July, so I'd have to put that on hold and continue to run, but I'm just kind of ready to move on to the career, and I'm really excited to start physical therapy school.
Well, sure. Well, you mentioned the injuries that you've had in your tweet. You know, did you have any major injuries during your college career, or was it just some nagging ones?
Yeah, I had a femur stress fracture my freshman year, and just kind of had never diagnosed shin stress fracture, but just nagging shin and arch pain that kind of took me out of another about like three seasons. And so I really only had one outdoor track season.
Oh, okay. Well, you said that you were satisfied with your journey, but that you also had some goals that would remain unmet because your career is now over. You know, what were you hoping to accomplish this season that you won't be able to now?
I went to college anticipating being able to race the steeplechase in outdoor track. And I really had a goal of being able to compete on the conference team, which I hadn't been able to do yet. So that's probably the biggest one.
Well, you also mentioned in your tweet that it's the people that make cross country and track the sport that it is. One of your teammates on the track squad is Hannah Dreher, another former Centennial standout, and I guess a former roommate of yours as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now Hannah competes in the hurdles and sprints, and she's had a really good career, hasn't she?
Yeah, for sure.
Now, she's a senior as well, and I haven't talked to her, but so I would guess she'd have the option to come back, you know, next year as well. Do you know what her plans are?
I know that she's a graduate student at South Dakota right now, so I'm not sure what she wants to do running-wise, but I know she's still going to be there. She's in the psychology school, so.
Oh, okay. I'll have to talk to her. My son's in the same department, but
Iowa
State.
Oh, that's awesome.
So maybe she's got some good advice for him. So.
Yes.
Well, I know you've been named to the Summit League Commissioner's List of Academic Excellence multiple times. And I see that you're majoring in kinesiology and sport management. You mentioned that you want to get into the PT school.
Mm-hmm.
So that's obviously where you're headed then, right? PT school?
Yes.
So having these injuries throughout your career, that probably prepares you well for that career, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, exactly that. I remember when I went on my PT interview with DMU, and just so many of the stories that I told were how much the injuries have grown and developed my passion for being a physical therapist over the years.
I'm sure it wasn't easy for you to balance your academics, you know, with being a competitive runner at such a high level. You know, did you find that pretty challenging at times?
I would say at times, yeah. There were times when I wanted to, you know, not go to practice, stay back doing homework, and other times that I didn't want to do homework and would rather go practice and compete. But honestly, coming from the Ankeny School District, it prepared me really well for college, and I didn't struggle too much academically, so I was really, really lucky for that.
Well, of course, as a distance runner, you really don't have a choice but to get a lot of miles in as part of your training. You know, do you think the discipline that it took for you to be a successful runner is going to help you in the next stage of your life?
I definitely think so.
So you will be graduating in May then, right? And then
yes.
You run. Okay. So are you taking your classes online right now then?
Yes. Yeah, I am actually only in two classes, and I'm finishing up my honors thesis that I'm going to be defending in April, so also online now.
Well, it must be really strange to be finishing out your last college semester in this fashion. Huh?
Yeah, it is really weird.
So I suppose, has the graduation ceremony been canceled too then?
Yeah, they said postponed. I'm not exactly sure what that means, if it'll be occurring or not, but.
Oh, my son's going through the same thing at Iowa State. So. Well, Taylor, thanks a lot for coming in today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Ira Realty. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, my next guest is a former Ankeny Centennial softball standout who had just begun her freshman season at Clark University in Dubuque, where she is now playing for former Centennial coach Garland Shirley. She went 2-for-6 and scored 4 runs as her team opened the season on February 29th with a doubleheader sweep over Waldorf before the rest of the season was canceled by the NAIA due to COVID-19. She is Lily King. Lily, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Good. It's good to be here.
Hey, you bet. Well, how are you doing? Are you surviving this global pandemic?
Yes, I am.
Probably never expected to be dealing with this, huh?
Never.
Well, I know you guys got to play your first 2 games of the season, and then you were getting ready to play in the spring games in Claremont, Florida on March 14th through the 18th. Now, the 14th would have been the Saturday right after the Boys State basketball tournament, which is when all of these cancellations started going down. So had your team already traveled to Florida for the tournament when you received word that the season was going to be canceled?
We were about to get on the charter bus, so no, we hadn't technically gone, but all of our families were already there. So a bunch of us decided to just go anyway and use the tickets. Yeah.
So how'd you find out that the season had been canceled? Did Coach Shirley just tell you?
The AD and, like, Coach Shirley and some of, like, the student life directors came into the conference room and just sat us down and was like, we're really sorry, but right now you can't go to Florida. And we didn't actually know our season was canceled until, like, 3 days later.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, what was your initial reaction? Was it, like, shock or disappointment?
Both, yeah. Like, for me, I was disappointed, but I still have, like, 4 more years now if I want it. So it's not as dramatic as, like, the seniors on our team. They were really upset.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Well, you know, did you have any idea the way things were going that it was going to get to this point? I mean, did you see it coming at all?
Oh, yeah, we definitely saw it. At our last practice, like, the NCAA had already canceled everything. We just, like, knew it was going to trickle down to us, like, eventually.
Well, it sounds like the NAIA exhausted all of their potential scenarios as far as trying to resume the season at some point. And I see the Clark season ended in late April a year ago. You know, so if this season were postponed anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks, you know, that really would have made it tough to, like, pick up at that point, wouldn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
So I can see why they, you know, they canceled it. Well, I'm sure for the lone senior on your team, I think you just have the one, Kenzie Peterson, right?
We actually have 4.
Oh, okay.
So one of our juniors is graduating early, so that's why she's technically considered a senior. And then 2 of our other teammates, they redshirted, so they still have eligibility left, but they're both, like, going on to grad school, and I don't think they're going to come back.
Oh, gotcha.
Yep.
Well, it had to be devastating for them. I can't imagine, you know, what it would be like to be told that your senior season is just over and that's it.
Right. I can't even imagine that.
Well, I know the NAIA has announced that, you know, no spring sports student-athlete will be charged a season of competition, you know, so those girls would be able to come back and play next year if they wanted to. Do you know if any of them plan to do that?
We haven't really talked about it. Coach had a meeting with us yesterday and kind of put the options for them on the table. So I hope they come back. I really like them. Like, I don't know. It's nice to have those seniors around.
Well, for the rest of the players on the team, you know, it's great that you all get that, you know, season of eligibility back. But I'm sure that a lot of you, you know, you will end up graduating in 4 years. So then you'd have a decision to make, right?
Yeah.
Are you going to be on track to graduate in 4 years, you think?
I'm on track to graduate early right now, but I don't really know if I'll do that with softball or not. I'm probably just going to graduate in 4, but you never know.
Well, I feel bad for Coach Shirley, too. I know he went through a double lung transplant in November of 2017, and he probably thought that was the biggest hurdle that he'd ever have to deal with in his coaching career, and now he's got this to deal with. How's he handling the crisis?
Well, he told us at practice that he knows this is really dramatic and, like, a big deal, but to him, this is his everyday life. Like, he has to live like this. He has to wash his hands a lot, like, be aware of, like, who's sick around him because of his, like, double lung transplant that he has.
Sure.
Like, he can't get sick.
Well, let's talk about how your season was going up to the point where it was canceled. You know, were you happy with how you were playing and adjusting to that level of softball?
Not so much. I mean, my first game, I struggled a lot just because, I don't know, right out of the bat, I was, like, kind of nervous, like, being a freshman or whatever. But my second game, I did a lot better, and I recovered, but I still wanted to play better.
Well, of course, you were only 2 games in, so it's not
right.
not much there to work with. But
yeah.
Now, when you were at Centennial, I think you moved around quite a bit and played all 3 of the outfield positions. Which position were you primarily playing this year?
Right field and center
field. Oh, okay.
Yep, it depended on who was in the infield for us, and then the outfield just, like, rotated around.
Did you feel like, you know, it was a big adjustment for you going from the CIML to the Heart of America Athletic Conference?
Not so much. I mean, we faced some really good pitchers in the CIML, so I was pretty used to, like, the tough competition and stuff.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how that pitching compared. And, again, you only played the 2 games, but do you think the pitching on that level? I'm sure it's going to be pretty good, though, isn't it?
It is good, yeah. And we did play some fall games, too, so I got more exposure to, like, the live pitching in this division, and I don't know, I think I'll adjust well.
Well, I know you moved back to Ankeny last week, but you're still taking your classes online then, is
yep.
that right? You know, how's that going? What are you studying there?
I'm studying nutrition, a bunch of science courses, some econ, just about everything. I mean, it's not too bad.
Yeah. Well, assuming the crisis ends at some point, you know, what are your plans for the summer? Will you try to play softball somewhere? Will you go back to school?
I'm not really sure. I'll probably stay here this summer and just work out and like hit on my own, maybe with a small group of us who like come back from college.
There's just so many things that are up in the air, right?
Right.
Who knows how long this is going to last. Well, what are you trying to do right now to stay in softball shape? Are there some places where you can go to work out?
Yeah, we have a family friend who has batting cages in their garage, so that's where I go. They have like a whole gym in there and like a cage, so I go there and hit, work out.
I'm sure one of the tough things about, you know, this whole situation is being away from your team and just the, you know, the relationships that you had with your teammates. I mean, it's probably hard not to see those girls, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully, you know, your former team at Centennial will also be able to play its season as scheduled. You know, assuming that they do, do you think the Jaguars are going to have a pretty good year this year?
I think they're going to have a great year. They have a lot of returners, and, like, some of the freshmen that are coming up are pretty good.
Well, you guys obviously had a really good season last year under Coach Delaney. I'm sure the progress will just continue.
I hope it does.
So, well, Lilith, thanks a lot for coming in. Appreciate it.
And, yeah, thank
you. Good luck to you. Thanks. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Revive Clinic and Spa is also a sponsor of the podcast. Revive has a large menu of aesthetic procedures, including Botox, cosmetic fillers, hydrofacials, cool sculpting, laser hair removal, Forever Young photo facials, Halo, and a medically supervised weight loss program. Dr. Steph is now offering hormone pellet therapy for men and women. She has over 15 years of aesthetic experience and 30 years in the healthcare field. Her staff is top-notch and the best in the industry. They give every new patient a complimentary consult that includes a Visia skin analysis valued at $200. Revive Clinic and Spa is conveniently located at 1850 Southwest Plaza Shops Lane in South Ankeny by the new Hy-Vee. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. All right, my next guest is a former basketball and baseball standout at Ankeny Christian Academy. He was also a top player on the Ankeny boys tennis team before deciding to go out for track at ACA his senior season. He's now a freshman guard on the Faith Baptist Bible College men's basketball team. He started all 28 games this season and led the team in minutes played, helping the Eagles to a 17-11 record. He averaged 11.9 points and 4-point assists per game. He is Jace Gorgian. Jace, how you doing?
Doing good. How you doing?
Good. Well, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You guys certainly had a successful season, although it didn't end the way you would have liked, and we'll get to that here in a bit. Mm-hmm. But your team won 17 games, more than doubling the win total from the previous two seasons combined. You know, you have to be awfully proud of what this team accomplished.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It was just really good experience, and just being for my first year in college, I just really learned a lot this year.
We stepped in and obviously played a key role right away. You know, were you happy with the way that you played?
Oh, I was really happy. I didn't really know what to expect coming in, you know, playing college basketball. But, man, it was really cool after the first couple of games to really just figure out my role on the team.
You know, did you think going in, though, that you'd have such a major role?
I talked to Coach before the season, and he talked to me about how much I need to be a distributor and be able to get the ball to my other teammates, because he said we're going to have a lot of scores this year. So that's one thing that I was really looking forward to.
Let's talk about the tremendous postseason run that you guys had. Your team finished the regular season at 12-11. You entered the Midwest Christian College Conference Tournament as the number 4 seed. After a first-round victory over host Ozark Christian College, your team then defeated the number 1 seed, Manhattan Christian, in the semifinals on a late three-pointer by Caleb Sidlinger. Did you kind of know at that point that this team was capable of going on a deep run?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Just a couple weeks before that, it was like we were just losing games. We were like coming back from games, getting really close. But then just during that conference tournament is really, really just put in the next gear and just started to really play good basketball. And we just, I mean, it was unbelievable just to see how well we played back to back to back.
Well, then in the finals, your team battled back from a 16-point deficit and edged Calvary Bible College 61-60 as Nathan Keck made a free throw with 1.1 seconds left to secure the win. You know, what was the key to your comeback in that game?
I think it was just us having the perseverance just to be able to keep going. Because I remember having a timeout in the second half when we were down by a pretty big margin. And I just looked at everyone's faces and everyone was like, we're not giving up. Like, we've been here before. We know what to do. And it was just awesome to see our guys just come through when it really mattered.
Well, the following week, your team entered the regional tournament in Ellendale, North Dakota, as the number 1 seed. In the semifinals, you guys dug yourselves a pretty big hole, 21-point deficit with just over 10 minutes to play against Maranatha Baptist University. But you then mounted a ferocious comeback to force an overtime, and then your team dominated the extra period to pull away for a 98-88 victory. You know, how were you able to pull off that win?
That was just, I mean, it was incredible. I just remember looking at the score, and we're down like 21 points. And then all of a sudden, looking at it again, we're down 3. I'm like, this is just insane. Our guys were just, I think we're pressing, which was doing was really well. And we were making some big shots, and just all the momentum was on our side.
Well, you guys then entered the regional final, attempting to do what no other Eagle men's basketball team had ever done, and that's win a regional championship. The opponent was host Trinity Bible, and the game started out much like the semifinal game did, as your team trailed by 9 with about 10 minutes left. But again, your team came roaring back, and this time it resulted in a 74-64 win for the school's first ever regional championship. You know, how did it feel to make some history in your first season with the program?
Oh, man, like, it was just seeing the smiles on all of our all the guys' faces, and also seeing the seniors that, I mean, they've been through some tough seasons, and just to see all their hard work really pay off, and just to see, man, just to see their smiles and be able to embrace them and just see what they've had to go through and just how they've worked so hard to get to that point.
Well, coming into the season, obviously the program hadn't had that much success in the last couple of years. I mean, did you guys have any kind of expectations like that you could accomplish something like that?
I think it's just coming into this year, it was just a high level just thinking we're gonna compete with everyone. It doesn't matter who we're playing, whether it was like the exhibition games with Grandview and Simpson, we're going to compete as hard as we can, or it's the teams that might not be as good as we are, we're going to still put on the pressure regardless of the score.
Now, you were named honorable mention all-region, while fellow freshman Nathan Keck was named to the first team and was almost selected the region MVP. He was later selected a NCCAA Division II second team All-American. You know, so do you enjoy playing the backcourt with him this season? He must be a heck of a player.
Oh, it was incredible. I've never seen a guy be able to drive so well to the hoop and just be able to avoid contact going to the hoop and just be able to make those shots. And it was just, he's such a cool guy, like just cool-headed. It doesn't matter what situation it was in, whether it was making a three to win the game earlier in the year or towards the end of the year, we made the free throw to win in the, I think it was a semi or the championship mm-hmm. for a conference tournament. And he's just an incredible player and even better guy. He's just a great guy to have as a brother in Christ.
Well, you guys then returned to Joplin, Missouri for the national championship, and that's where you had won the conference tournament 3 weeks earlier. You spent the first part of that championship week practicing and participating in the Samaritan's Feet Christian Service Project mm-hmm. and attending the All-American Banquet, where your coach, Brian Fincham, was named the National Coach of the Year. You know, that was quite an honor for him as well. So did you learn a lot playing for him this season?
Oh, I did. I've never knew what to experience with college basketball, and college basketball is a lot more intense than I thought it would be, and it didn't matter. He made it clear that whether it was a practice, a game, or no matter what else we're doing, we're going to be doing it the best we can so we can be able to put the best product out there on the floor when it comes up in the game.
Well, then on Thursday of that week, which would have been March 12th, your team was in the locker room minutes from tip-off when word was received that the championship was canceled due to the outbreak of COVID-19. You know, can you describe what that moment was like? It had to be pretty disappointing.
Oh, it was so crazy. It's just, we were all in the locker room getting ready. Tanner Van Beek, our captain, was giving our devotional for the game, which we always do. And just as he finished, we were all getting up, about to get hyped and ready for the game, when our coach walked in and he just said, guys, they canceled the tournament. I'm not joking. And just to see everyone's faces was just, it was sad for sure.
I just can't imagine what that would be like. I mean, it'd be one thing if you hadn't left home yet, but, you know, everybody's already there. And I understand why all these tournaments were canceled, mm-hmm. but that just had to be devastating.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, that was the same day that a lot of other tournaments across the country were canceled. But the night before, you know, most games had been played as usual. So did you have any idea that this was coming?
We thought it potentially could be, but we also were actually getting really excited just thinking that we could potentially be the only tournament still playing. We're like, hey, what if ESPN or something came? But We were definitely thinking that it was a possibility that it could happen.
Well, your team entered the national tournament as the number 6 seed in the 8-team field, and obviously we'll never know, but do you think you guys were ready to do some more damage in that tournament?
I mean, I think for sure, just the way that no matter what game we were in, we were competing hard, and even if we're going to get down in the game, we knew that we could come back. We knew we could hit the shots that we need to, so I think we could have made a deep run if given the chance.
Yeah, when you guys get behind by 20, you have the other team right where you want them, right?
Yep.
Well, I read where your team ranked in the top 5 in the nation in overall field goal percentage, three-point percentage, and offensive and defensive rebounding, and you were one of the 4 players to average in double figures. You know, you just had a pretty balanced team, didn't you?
We did. It's just, it reminds me a lot of my high school team from Ankeny Christian the last 4 years, that any night someone could get hot, and that's just made us so good, is that you had to stop all 5 people on the court. You couldn't just single out on one. You'd have to stop all 5. You can't just sit back on one of them.
Well, you mentioned your starting center, Tanner Van Beek, and he's somebody that your team will lose. He averaged 12.5 points per game. Another senior was a key reserve in Chase Clark, but everybody else will be back. So you got to feel pretty good about, you know, the prospects for next year.
Oh, for sure. I think it's just, we have some other guys coming in too, which should be pretty exciting. And it's something that Faith is just, I think they're really building their basketball program, and they're getting recognition that they might have not got before. And it's just really cool to see that we have we've got some guys coming in that, I mean, I think we really can put together a great team again next year.
Well, Jason, you mentioned your former ACA team. Before you go, I wanted to ask you a quick question about those guys. You were one of four starters. You graduated off last year's team, but the Eagles still managed to go 21-4 this year and came up just one win shy of advancing to the state tournament. You know, I'm sure you followed how they were doing this year. Were you surprised at the success that they had?
I wasn't surprised, to be honest. I knew that they had the fire in them because I knew after last year they knew how close we were to be able to make the state tournament, and that really just gave them the fire to really over the off season and during the season just to really push hard and just to see them after games, be able to talk to them and see how much us seniors got to impact them last year, and that they played not only just for their school and everything, but for God also, how they honored God in everything that they did.
And one last thing for you. So now with school, are you guys going to the online classes the rest of the year, or what are you guys doing?
Yeah, we started on Monday, online classes. And I'll tell you one thing, it's different for sure. It's something I've never really experienced before. But, yeah, it's definitely a different experience.
Well, hey, Jace, thanks a lot for coming in today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Whether you're looking for your first home or refinancing your existing loan, Gershman Mortgage has an expert to assist you. They'll help you find the right mortgage to meet your personal needs. When you are buying your starter house, moving to a larger home, aging in place, or looking to refinance, Gershman Mortgage will be there every step of the way. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, my final guest tonight is a former Centennial baseball standout. I guess he's hitting cleanup. He's now a senior infielder on the Grandview University squad, and prior to coming to Grandview in 2018, he spent two seasons at Century College in Minnesota. He is Drew Prongy. Drew, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Thanks for having me. Good. How are you?
Hey, you bet. Well, you guys were supposed to be playing a doubleheader at Waldorf yesterday, but as most people know by now, your season was canceled a couple of weeks ago due to the coronavirus. You know, how are you dealing with everything? Has it been difficult?
It has. It's been pretty boring. Haven't been able to do much with online classes, so a lot of hanging out.
I'll bet. Well, I see on your schedule where your team was supposed to play at Peru State that weekend of March 13th through the 15th. So had you guys left for Nebraska yet before you got the news that the season was canceled?
Nope. We were supposed to leave at 7:30 that morning, and we got the email at about 6:30 and saying it was canceled. We weren't going anymore.
So did they tell you that just that weekend was canceled or the whole season was canceled?
Yep, just then. And then we had a meeting, I want to say, next week, probably on Monday. And then they told us they didn't know anything was going to happen yet, so just wait and see. But at that point, we're just waiting to see if our season was going to get canceled.
Well, when you finally did get that news, I mean, what went through your mind? It had to be pretty devastating.
Right. It was devastating. I didn't know if I was going to be able to come back and get another year, but thankfully I do. And with my mom working there, free tuition, so, I mean, it was an easy choice for me. But
well, good.
Thankful.
Well, I saw on Twitter last week where Viking Athletics tweeted out a quote from you. You said, growing up, baseball has been a huge part of my life. In the game where you fail more than you succeed, you have to accept it because there's another game to be played the next day. It was never wins and losses for me. It was wins and lessons. So you've been able to, you know, accept the cancellation of your season at this point then? I guess you really don't have a choice, do you?
Right. No.
Well, like you mentioned, I know the spring sport athletes, you know, will be granted an extra year of eligibility. So you've obviously made that decision already that you are going to come back.
Yep. I think so.
Now, will you have to go to school then too, or can you come back as a non-student since this is kind of unusual circumstances?
From what I know, I think I have to minor in something, so I think I'm just going to go into psychology, minor in that, and then to be a full-time student, and that's how you're eligible.
Okay, because were you on pace then? Are you supposed to be graduating now?
I would have, yeah.
But okay.
I think I'm just going to do it next year now.
Gotcha. Well, your brother Corey joined the Vikings program this season, and he'll always be back, you know, next year as well. Did you enjoy playing with him in this abbreviated season?
I did. It was nice to show him how things kind of go as a first year because I was there in his shoes before. And it was just nice knowing he was behind my back, and I could show him the ropes for when I'm done, and he can step in, take my place.
Well, I guess on the bright side of things, now you guys will get another year to be together, so that's good.
Right.
Well, in that quote that I read earlier, you said that playing baseball was never about the wins and losses for you. You know, unfortunately, you guys hadn't won a lot of games this year. You were coming off a 13-22 season a year ago, and your team had struggled to a 3-14 mark, you know, before the season was canceled. But five of those losses were by one run, I see. So if you had won those games, you would have been about a .500 team. So you guys were still pretty competitive, weren't you?
Yeah, it was a lot of games were close. Kind of seemed like when our pitching was on, our hitting wasn't. And then when our hitting was on, our pitching kind of fell off. But, you know, it just felt like we were all getting into place right as our season got canceled. So it kind of sucked then. But I know we had a great squad and had some potential, but some of the games didn't go our way.
one of your losses was a 15-2 decision at the University of Iowa on March 3rd. And I know that wasn't the outcome that you wanted, but it still had to be fun to play against a Division I team.
Right. Facilities was nice. They treated us very well. As I remember, it was pretty close going through the fifth inning. I think it was a one-run game. And then, you know, just they just overpowered us. You know.
Well, I was looking through that box score earlier today, and I saw some familiar names on that Iowa roster. I mean, guys like Peyton Williams.
Yep.
They got some good hitters, don't they?
Yeah. Austin Martin's one of them. He was having a great season. Kind of sucks that they had to end as well.
Well, you mentioned learning some lessons in that quote that I read earlier. So what are some of the lessons that you've learned from playing baseball, you know, all these years? I'm sure one of them is that things just don't always go your way, do they?
Yep. I don't know. I always kind of struggled with failure. Didn't really take getting out very well. So one of my friends actually told me that it's always wins and lessons, Jack Voigt. So kind of just took that with me, and it's kind of helped, you know, keep my head straight, keep pushing forward.
Well, I know you played on some pretty good teams at Centennial. I think your teams at Century College are pretty successful as well. You know, what are some of your favorite memories of playing baseball that you always remember?
Just having new teammates every year. A lot of great guys, great teams, great coaches. They've always pushed me to do better, and I think it's really made me mature more as a person and teammate and leader.
So it's probably more about the relationships that you've had, not just like specific moments in games, right?
Yeah.
Well, Century College is located in White Bear Lake, Minnesota. Did you enjoy your time up there? There's probably a lot of things to do up there in the summertime, isn't there?
Yep, it's a great place. I don't know. Minnesota, I was kind of worried going up there for 2 years, but I wanted to get away. So I enjoyed my time. Everyone made it welcome for me, so didn't have any problems really.
Well, I noticed that one of your former Centennial teammates, Noah Stober, is now playing there. You know, have you talked to him lately? How's he liking up there?
I have not, but I heard it's going pretty well. I don't know if they've had any games other than Florida, so I might have just got a couple games in there.
All right. Well, before I let you go, Drew, I just wanted to get your thoughts on Major League Baseball a little bit. You know, depending on when this pandemic comes to an end, you know, do you think they'll be able to get a full season in?
I hope so. I saw something on Twitter the other day that they were thinking about doing doubleheaders on days but making them seven-inning games. I think that'd be kind of interesting, but I don't know. I hope you can just see some games because, I don't know, just –
That was my thing, watching baseball. Be a long summer without baseball,
right?
Yeah. Well, I heard somebody talking today about the possibility of playing the World Series around Christmas time. Man, that'd be a little bizarre, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it'd be cold if you're, you know, Chicago makes it back, Cleveland makes it back, any of those teams.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the biggest talking points during spring training, you know, before it was shut down, was the plight of the Astros after they were penalized for cheating during the 2017 World Series. Now, I want to get your thoughts on that whole deal. Do you think MLB did enough to penalize the Astros? Do you think they should have taken the title away from them?
I think so. And as a Dodgers fan, I definitely think they should have. But, I don't know, it was just a bad deal. And it never came out and said anything about it. Didn't own up to any of their mistakes. I don't know. They're saying – some of the Astros guys are saying how they still want a ring from it, but they were cheating, and that's how they got the ring. So I don't know. Just I think it should have got taken away.
Yeah, I feel like if they really want to, you know, make it so that nobody's ever going to do this again, they need to take the title away from them. Because otherwise, you know, what's to stop somebody from doing it again if that's the only punishment they're going to get? Well, you're a former catcher, so I'm sure you know all the secrets about how to steal signs and what's the best way to keep your own signs from being stolen. You know, obviously at the big league level, you know, it seems to be a pretty big part of the game. You know, although the Astros certainly took it to a different level. You know, how prevalent would you say stealing signs is at the levels of baseball that you've played at?
Now, the only time I would say I've stolen any signs is probably when I was, I don't know, in high school. But on second base, if catcher's doing one sign, that's about the extent I would go to stealing signs. But I didn't think it would come to that. People in dugouts with different credentials from the other team.
And using all this technology, I mean, it just seems crazy that – and I never understood the incentive for those guys to do it. I mean, they're all such good players anyway. They don't need to cheat.
I don't know.
Crazy. Well, Drew, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate the time.
Thank you very much.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Iowa Finance Authority 2019 Mortgage Credit Certificate Program can save Iowa homebuyers up to $2,000 on their federal taxes for the life of the loan for first-time homebuyers. This program awards a tax credit valued at 50% of the annual mortgage interest paid and is available annually as long as the home remains the buyer's primary residence. Dave Lewis of Home Services Lending and the Iowa Realty Ankeny office is a participating lender. You can call Dave at 515-321-5913 if you have any questions. He also has a variety of products and can handle all of your loan needs. Well, I want to thank all of my guests again for coming in tonight. We had Taylor Brown, Lily King, Jace Gorgian, and Drew Prongy. Enjoyed the conversation with them. We will have another podcast on Friday night this week, back by popular demand. It will be Rodcast episode number 2 with Rod Brannon, Tony Rhodes, and another special guest. So come back in a couple nights and check that out. Iowa Realty is very proud and fortunate to have Home Services Lending, Iowa Title, Midland Title and Escrow, and Home Services Insurance as part of their one-stop shopping model. They're able to help you buy and sell anywhere in the state of Iowa. They can also help you, your family and friends who are moving from anywhere to anywhere in the world through their business affiliates. If you would like information on how to become a realtor, you can call Mike Stanbro at 453-5350, or you can email Mike at Mike Stanbro, that's STANBROUGH, at iowarealty.com.